It's kind of ironic and quite interesting that Queen Kunti here is saying that people that have high birth, opulence, education, beauty, it's as probably kind of qualifies it here, so to speak, unqualified for chanting the holy name, feeling. But Queen Kunti, she had all of these. She had all of them. High birth, she was a prince, born a princess, became a queen. She was the queen of the king of the planet, Pandu. I mean, you can't get higher birth than that in a woman's body. Janma, Aishwarya, opulence, she's a queen. Educated. This is the only chapter in the entire Bhagavatam that is just the prayers of a Mataji. Very educated. Prabhupada used to quote her all the time. And devotees all around the world quoted her all the time. Very educated. And she must have been very beautiful. Queen. Of course, I'm speculating, but she was probably pretty attractive. So she had everything. But she's saying this verse. It's interesting. And there's other examples also, but in general, this is the case. Someone becomes very educated. It's like how many scientists join our society? Very few. We had some Prabhupada's here. A few joined, despite the Shakti of Prabhupada. So many amazing people. And wealthy people. How many wealthy people are joining? When Prabhupada was here, also a few wealthy people joined. Ambarish, Prabhu, grandson of Henry Ford, George Harrison, he kind of joined. Chinchaveda Vedatattva. Called himself a colossal Hare Krishna. So, to be in a high birth is very difficult for them to join. So it's actually a blessing to not be born in a high birth. Another example of high birth, Prabhupada, he was born into a very nice Brahminical family, very educated. But of course he took it. He took it to heart. So in general, someone has these things and it's difficult to take seriously Krishna consciousness. But possible. Why? Because as Kunti says here, it's intoxicating. People become intoxicated by these things. So we want to decrease this, as Prabhupada says, this fever, this intoxicating fever. And this is possible by this process. It's like just hearing these prayers by Queen Kunti. These two, this one today and then yesterday, these are two of the most famous verses in the Bhagavatam. And just by hearing these verses by Queen Kunti, our mind becomes purified. Just by hearing these verses of such a pure Vaishnavi. And then, of course, the purports. Our mind becomes purified. And this is the goal, to become pure. So people that get a big position, it's difficult, they become proud, intoxicated with this pride. Even there's a statement that you could find or you can see a person's character when you give them a position. You can see a person's real character when they're given a position. To say, what's the most famous example in the Bhagavatam of someone got a position and just became completely intoxicated? Anybody know?
No.
Huh?
No.
Vena.
Vena.
He was a prince. He was the son of a king. And the king was a devotee. Now here's another example. He was a king, but he was a good devotee, very good devotee. He was trying to make his son into a devotee, but his son was like, he was intoxicated from the very beginning. He used to just harass the youth, so much so that the youth would see him coming, they'd cry out, look out, cruel Vaina is coming. So cruel. And the father became so disgusted with his son that he just took sannyas, came out of the sannyas, so just left, took shelter of Krishna. He became a king. And kind of like, I guess you could compare that to Trump now. Yeah. A little bit like, maybe not that bad, or maybe. But he told the Brahmins, why are you, you're acting like prostitutes? What are you worshiping all these gods? You know, I'm a king. I'm God myself, you know. And the Brahmins became pretty disgusted quickly with him. And just by their words, they killed him. And then who became the king? After? Prithu. King Prithu. There was chaos then. I mean, he was, Vaina was like completely out there, just egotistic to the max. But he kept the crime down. But when he was killed, the crime increased. And the Brahmanas said, we are the leaders now, and if we don't do something to stop this chaos in society, we will lose our brahminical tejas, because it's their responsibility. They're the leaders. They're the actual leaders. The king actually is not the leader, because the real king, he'll take guidance from the Brahmins. So they're the real leaders in society. So therefore they churn, I think they churn the legs of Vaina and Prithu. He was the incarnation of management. He was the best incarnation of management. So you can imagine how well things were managed after he came. So, and also within our society, so many people got positions. GDC, a guru, and it was too much. They became affected by this position, and they couldn't continue, unfortunately. So to get a position, to get any position, one has to be spiritually advanced in order to not be affected by the respect that one may get. What did Lord Chaitanya say? Not done of. I don't want love. Not Janam, I don't want followers. I don't want respect. A sundering, I don't want a beautiful one. So apparently everybody wants wealth. And actually, we want wealth also. But for Krishna, not for ourselves. There was one Christian, one of the most famous Christians, St. Francis, who was born into a very wealthy family, but he took the vow of poverty. So you know this previous verse we heard, how Queen Kunti prayed for calamity. So this devotee, he prayed, when you accept poverty, you're accepting calamity. So he was like that. He prayed for calamity. And he is one of the most famous devotees of Christ, because he accepted that vow of poverty. And Prabhupada mentions here, it's very good, and many devotees within our line that were very wealthy, but they renounced their wealth. Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, extremely wealthy, multi-millionaires, just gave it all up. Gave up all the wealth, gave up the prestige, they were prime ministers. Yeah. I think Rupa Goswami was prime minister. Snapping Goswami, what position was he in? He had a big position. It was a big position. They just renounced everything, the position, the wealth, everything. And went to Vrindavan, and they were homeless. Living under a different tree. Homeless. So, it's actually for someone to renounce wealth, prestige, it's very, very wonderful. So, Nadana, Nadana, Asundari, I don't want a beautiful wife. Everybody wants a beautiful wife. Women want a beautiful husband, handsome husband. Devotee's not interested in this. So you don't want wealth. You don't want followers. You don't want a beautiful mate. That's everything. What do you want? What do you want? We want to serve Krishna. We want bhakti. That's the highest achievement that anybody can achieve. Love for Krishna. That's higher than anything else. But not an easy achievement. But possible. Not easy, but possible. With determination. So we had to be very determined to achieve this goal. Sometimes devotees, I've heard it, devotees think, well, it's such a high achievement, I'll just hope that my next life I'll be in and take birth in a nice family and I'll finish it up then. I've gone to a certain level now and I'll finish it up next life. Anybody ever heard that?
Yes.
Yeah. But you don't know. You don't know what our next birth is going to be. Let's say you take birth in a nice Vaishnava family. That doesn't mean you're still going to be a devotee. Advaita Acharya had 6 sons. He's God. 3 of them deviate. He's God. And 3 of his sons became impersonals, Mayavadis. So, don't count on them. You might even be the son of God and you deviate. Inconceivable. I mean, that's like inconceivable. Prabhupada. How many sons did Prabhupada have?
3.
4? 3? 4, something like that. And a couple daughters, I think. No one became a devotee. None of them became a devotee. Prabhupada Shaktivedanta came here to deliver society, to save the world. None of them became devotees. And even one of them, none, one of them was favorable, but didn't actually become a devotee. Vrindavan became very favorable, but he didn't become a devotee. And there was one that even sued our society. Because he was a son, he deserved some inheritance. The Prabhupada made it very clear what he, you know, in his will, where everything was meant to go. But this one son, he took it to court. No, I'm a son of this person. I deserve more. And he was so determined that he got so much money. We had to settle out of court. Tomokrishna Maharaj said he was so intelligent. She was amazed. In one fallacious argument he gave it, he said, actually, my father, you know, this whole Hare Krishna movement, it was just a front. His real thing was to make money. He was a businessman. So he told the judge that actually he wasn't very spiritually advanced. He was a businessman. He faked it out. So the judge just looked at him and said, you nonsense, rascal. Everybody knows Prabhupada was a saint. So he just smashed that idea. The judge chastised him for coming up with such a ridiculous idea. So there's the son of Prabhupada sued his society. So don't think that level. Next lifetime, maybe I'll get more serious. No, we don't know. We don't know what our lifetime, our next life will be. So better take seriously this life. Very seriously this life. Prabhupada said, you chant 16 rounds a day, you follow the four regular principles, and I guarantee you, you'll go back home. Prabhupada's given to you. But, as we heard here, the quality. So the quality has to be there. That's the challenge, right? The quality. So, Queen Kunti, she's saying here things that make it difficult for us to chant the holy name with feeling, to have a high birth, to be very wealthy, to be very beautiful, to have a big position. So none of us here have that. You know, of course, some are beautiful. There's some beautiful people. But none of us are very wealthy or in a big position. We're not prime ministers. So what is it that will keep us from chanting the holy names feelingly? So this is the question answered here. So I'm going to ask you a question. What is it that will keep us from chanting the holy name with feeling?
Material desires?
Material desires, yes. Of course, that's related with what she's saying here. Just to be more practical, what is more practical things that can make it difficult for us to chant the holy name feelingly?
Association.
If we associate with the wrong people, that bad association is going to affect us. And it's going to be very difficult to chant the holy names with feeling. Right? So yeah, association. Yes.
Pride.
Okay. Yeah, for pride. Of course, that's also related to what she's saying here. I'm talking about more practical things, our daily things. What are daily things that we do that can make it difficult for us to chant the name of feeling? Yeah.
Offenses.
Huh?
Committing offenses.
Committing offenses, yeah. We offend devotees. I mean, that's like... Or if we offend the holy name. Just like it's stated that the name of Krishna is not different than Krishna. Right? So Krishna is here when we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. So if we're chanting the holy name and our mind is somewhere else, it's an offense. It's an offense. It's a subtle offense, but it's an offense. Therefore we can't get the taste. We can't get the feeling. So what to do? You know, we all have our minds that are, you know, we're chanting. And as soon as we start chanting, our mind's like, it's like, my mind is like. So I've heard many japa reform classes, right? But the best thing that I've ever heard that helps me more than anything else in chanting attentive japa. You've probably heard this here before. You're going to need to hear it again. You'll hear it again and again. It's really good. When you're chanting and you find your mind has gone off, you're not focusing, stop and back up. A couple beats just to check your mind. This is Bhakti Tirthaswami. He came up with it. Otherwise, the mind just keeps going. It goes from here and there and there and there. And some of you might have the experience where you chant the whole round and you didn't even hear one mantra. Any of you ever had that experience? A whole round and not even hear one name. Because the mind is like, ding, ding. It's like a ping pong machine. Yeah. Just all over the place. So as soon as you see it go off with your mind's eye, as soon as you see it go off, check it. Back up. A couple of beats just to check the mind. Then go forward. I told this to one devotee. He said, if I did that, I'd be chanting all day long just to chant my 16 rounds. So, one thing. That's a positive thing that we can do. You know Bhakti no Thakur? Anybody know how Bhakti no Thakur would chant his japa? You won't believe it. Anybody know?
What was that?
Bhakti no Thakur.
He chanted in a cupboard. He chanted his japa in a cupboard.
In a cupboard? Oh, I didn't hear that one, but that's interesting.
In his home in Zodganj, they won't allow you in there anymore, but in the early days, when you go and visit, you could actually chant some japa in his cupboard.
Uh-huh.
And that's the best japa I have ever chanted in the cupboard
that Bhakti Vinod has. Also, he would read the mantra. He would read the mantra, which is interesting. I mean, out of sight, out of mind, right? They have the same. Or insight in mind. Out of sight, out of mind, insight in mind. So if you have the mantra in front of you, you're chanting, you're reading it, but it's kind of hard to go on, right? Also, to have pictures of Krishna, this helps. These are some things that help chant attentive japa. Prabhupada said to chant in the temple is very good. He says it's 1,000 times better than anywhere else. It's Krishna's home in the temple. So what else is favorable for chanting? Good job.
Reading,
yeah. We have to, when we're not chanting, we should be very attentively reading Prabhupada's books. Every day we have to read. That gives us a taste for Krishna. That gives us a taste for hearing about Krishna. So hearing is something for Shravana. Hearing. Just like you're doing Harinam, Harinam Ruchi here. It's so nice having you here. The kirtan's going so good. So when you're going out in Harinam, people are hearing the holy name. But a lot of times, they come up to you and they say, well, what's this about? Right? Therefore, we distribute books also. We give them a chance to hear. Just like, I got the Bhagavad Gita in the library. And from reading Bhagavad Gita, I started chanting Hare Krishna. And it's like, how many of you first read Prabhupada's books and then you started chanting from reading Prabhupada's books? Yeah, see, quite a few. So therefore, book distribution and Harinam are very good together. Because they get a book, then they understand why we're chanting. So it's so important to hear. And Prabhupada said when we're reading, he said to one devotee, he said, don't go to the next sentence until you've understood what you're reading. Don't go to the next sentence until you've fully understood what you've read. I mean, he really, and Prabhupada said, you should know my books like a lawyer knows his law books. Lawyers, they know their law books. So these books are, Prabhupada said that the law books for mankind, they're giving direction on how to go to Krishna. So we have to hear very attentively. And we have to chant. If we hear the message of Krishna very attentively, then we can hear the holy name attentively. So hearing is so important. What else? Yeah. Ah, yes. Prabhupada said, believe it or not, the best time to chant your japa?
Before
Mangalarti. And, might as well shoot for the best, right? So I heard that. I mean, I was already chanting, I was getting up, like about 2:30, but then I thought, well, if I just get up a half hour earlier, I can do that. So I've been doing that for years now. It's like, it's the best program. I mean, you may not be able to do that now, but think of that in the future. Maybe someday you'll be able to, because you got to take rest early. You got to have your kind of like your own program. So you got to take rest early, get up early. But what did Benjamin Franklin say? Early to bed, early to rise. Person makes a person healthy, wealthy, and wise. So it's good. Take rest early. It's good. It's a great program. Take rest as early as you can. Then after Mangalarti, then Bhagavad Gita, reading Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's just like your day is just like, you're just ready to, your day is just set to be very Krishna conscious. So this is Prabhupada's word. He told Yamuna that. So as soon as she heard that, she started getting up at early chant all her job before. And Yamuna, she's probably the saintiest devotee in our society today, even today. No Madhavi is more famous. She's like our discount Queen Kunti. Anything else? Yeah.
Praying.
Yeah, we should pray. What do we pray? When we're chanting, it's a prayer. And what are we praying for? Service. We're praying for service. It's a mood. We're creating this mood from within our heart. We're trying to purify the mind. To just serve Krishna with love. It's a mood of prayer. So what are some things that make it difficult to chant a tentative japa?
Waking up late.
Of course, you guys are on this transcendental program of going out and you're doing harinam until late at night sometimes. You have to get up a little late. So, but they're on a special mission to deliver the world with the holy name. But I'm sure you're chanting nice japa. Anything else?
Man, bad habits.
So, this is a big point. Bad habits. What are some bad habits in our japa? Inattentive japa. Yeah.
Looking at your phone.
Yeah.
What did you say?
Looking at your phone while you're chatting.
Bringing your phone out. It's nice, this technology we have, we can use it in the service of Krishna, we can read Prabhupada's books, but it can also be very detrimental to our hearing.
Confirmed.
So I've seen it just a couple of days ago. I saw one devotee, right after Mangalarti, he was there on his phone. I said, "Prabhu."
Oh, Prabhu. It's Rishikesh.
Krishna. Rishikesh. So I told the devotee, "Prabhu, this is the best time for a job, but just, go on your phone later on." So, don't even touch your phone until your job is finished. Don't even touch it. Because it's gonna immediately your mind's gonna go off. So many things. Computer also, I've seen devotees go on the computer during japa period. Don't touch any technology until your japa is finished. There's one devotee, he was chanting his japa watching a movie. I don't think Krishna's very pleased with this type of japa. He said, "Vijay, this is the only way I can chant my japa." So that tells you where his japa level was at. Otherwise, he couldn't hear the holy name. That's the only way. I mean, it wasn't really chanting, just mechanical. Just mechanical, not really chanting. So what else? What else is a bad habit?
Overeating,
yeah. If you overeat, then the tendency is to
sleep.
The diet bomber. Yeah. We've all seen it before. The diet bomb, chakra.
Recently, we had a national Vaishnavi forum here, about 100 Vaishnavis from all around Australia coming in, great entertainment night. My god sisters Rasirani and Vika did, I think there were about 15 different types of japa, you know, bad japa.
Yeah.
I have to say it was hilarious.
It was hilarious.
One of them was the gossip japa.
Oh, right. That's another one.
And that often happens. You see devotees will be doing, and I'm guilty of it myself on occasion, we'll be chanting together, but then, you know, you'll start talking.
Right.
In between, chant a couple of beers and share.
That's a big one. So if you see someone chanting japa, respect the holy name. Don't start talking to them. If you see someone chanting and you want to speak to them, don't interrupt their japa. Speak to them later. Because they might be hearing the holy name very attentively and then you interrupt their japa. Isn't it? Yes, Prabhu.
You become a japa terrorist.
Japa terrorist. Okay, you're going to have to explain that. A little proof word on that.
No, when someone's chanting and you go into still and they're talking to them, you become a japa terrorist.
You become a terrorist of their japa. They're trying to chant and you're interfering. You're bombing their japa. Yeah, don't interrupt their japa. Eating food that's not good for the consciousness. Yeah. Prabhupada said if we eat food that is not prepared by devotees, our mind becomes wicked. Yeah. It doesn't. Sometimes you hear devotees say, well, Prabhupada said if you eat food grains that were cooked by non-devotees, you know, our mind becomes... No, Prabhupada said... Prabhupada said, if we eat food cooked by non-devotees, our mind becomes wicked. Because why? Because when you're cooking, the consciousness goes within the food. Therefore, only brahmanas cook for the deities. Only brahmanas cook for the deities because they're doing it for Krishna. They've been around for a while. They know they're servants of Krishna and this has to be done for Krishna. The pleasure of Krishna. So therefore the consciousness goes into the food. We shouldn't eat anything prepared by non-devotees. Yeah.
So that's a question about that. Some people say that nowadays machines do everything, single work.
But there's a consciousness behind the machine.
Okay.
Also.
Yeah.
Sure. It's subtle, but yeah. It's the machine. It doesn't turn itself on by itself. There's something behind the button. Consciousness behind.
Another point too is having had a lifetime in devotional service, pretty much, and always being tired. It's, you know, although Prabhupada said sleeping was a waste of time, and Prabhupada aimed to sleep as little as possible, but you know we're in a condition state, so I think it's very important that we get a good balance and sufficient rest because you can fall asleep in love with one class. You fall asleep when you're chanting, so trying to get sufficient rest. So getting up very early to chant with Jagrat before Mangalati may be very wonderful, but as you say, you have to make sure that you've already had your 6 hours.
Or more. I'll tell you an interesting conversation I just heard. Back in the early days, in 1968, Prabhupada was on a morning walk with the early devotees, and Malati was there with a bunch of other devotees, and Prabhupada asked him, "Oh, are you all chanting your 16 rounds?" And many of them weren't. In the early days, they didn't understand how important it was. So Malati said, "Well, Prabhupada, I think I'm not getting enough sleep because I'm a little sleepy when I'm chanting." And Prabhupada asked, "How much are you sleeping?" She said, "Well, it's between 6 and 8. And Prabhupada said, 6, 8, 10. He even said 10. So that everybody's on a different, there's some devotees they can get by with 6 hours, or even 5 hours. Some devotees can get by with 5 hours, or 6 hours, or 7 or 8. Some devotees even need as much as 9 or 10. mean, it's rare, but that's there. Prabhupada said that. I know some devotees like this. They have these bodies, they're just they're very tired. So yeah, make sure you get enough rest. And if you're chanting japa and you just can't shake it, your tiredness, then go take a 15-minute break and then go take a snap. I remember there was one devotee, he was chanting japa, and he was so tired that he was walking and sleeping. You see that one?
Yeah.
He's walking. And he's, you know, while he's walking. So he's really trying to, you know, stay awake, but he's so tired, he's even sleeping while he's walking. So better go take some rest. Okay. Last one. Yes, Lou. The holy name of Krishna is perfect and complete in itself. But as Prabhupada says in here in the purport, it's the quality. Like I mentioned, the people out there on the street, they could be, you know, drinking a beer and, yeah, Hare Krishna. But there's quality there. Obviously, it's not there. Although the name in itself is complete in itself, it's the quality. So this discussion here is all about bringing out the quality of the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. Okay, last one. Ambrose.
Did Prabhupada say he was an alcoholic and he was drinking beer, drunkard, he was drinking, and then Prabhupada said, if they remember Krishna as a taste of beer, they'll get...
Taste of water, because there's liquid in their mouth. Yeah, then they can advance. Yeah, if they're drinking, and they're thinking that Krishna, he is the liquid. They can advance. That Krishna's here, this liquid. Without the water, there can't be any beer, so the water is there. That's the key part of it. Srila Prabhupada ki jai!
Ki jai
Prabhu ki jai!
Jai!